Louis Strauss had prevailed.
The nuclear secrecy regime would remain in place and nuclear weapons would be built in dizzying numbers.
Oppenheimer had once thought Strauss merely an annoyance, a man not likely to obstruct things. Now, with the Republican administration in control of Washington, Strauss was in the driver's seat, and his right foot was pressing his political accelerator to the floor. Oppenheimer and many of his friends were now certain that Strauss was gunning for him. In July, soon after Strauss moved in as AEC chairman, Oppenheimer's close friend and lawyer Herb Marks received a phone call from an AEC employee.
"You'd better tell your friend Oppie to batten down the hatches and prepare for some stormy weather." "I knew he was in trouble," I.I. Robbie recalled. "He had been so for a couple of years. He was living under this shadow. I knew he was being hounded." So one day Robbie told him, "Robert, you write a piece for the Saturday Evening Post. Tell them your story, your radical connections and so on. Get well paid for it, and that will kill it." Robbie thought if the story came from Robert, and it appeared in a respectable publication, the public would understand. As a matter of public relations, a frank confessional essay might well have immunized Oppenheimer from further political attacks. But as Robbie recalled, "I couldn't get him to do it." Oppenheimer had other plans. Early that summer, Robert, Kitty, and their two children all boarded the SS Uruguay in New York, bound for Rio de Janeiro. Traveling as a guest of the Brazilian government, Oppenheimer was scheduled to give several lectures and then return to Princeton in mid-August. While he was in Brazil, the FBI had the U.S. Embassy monitor his contacts.